96% of respondents in CNBC's Fed survey expect lending standards to tighten over the next 12 months. Our next guest argues this is necessary. She says central banks need to remain restrictive for the next 18 months so we can bring the U.S., U.K., and European economies back to equilibrium. Joining us now is Bridgewater Associates co-CIO and one of the Barron's 100 most influential women in U.S. finance, 4 years running, Karen Carniel Tambor. Nice to see you in person.
Great to be here in person.
Yeah, especially since getting the new job at Bridgewater. So regional banks, some of these banks, PacWest, Western Alliance, are having sharp declines again. We thought that First Republic deal would be an end to the panic. Is that not true?
Well, I think that when you have tightening that's as rapid as what we've seen, I mean, the tightening we're coming out of is the fastest tightening we've seen in decades. You're going to get reverberations of that. And it's almost like the market expected there'd be no reverberations, no consequences to tightening more than we have in decades. And the most natural consequence to get is a credit tightening. And so you don't know necessarily which banks will tighten credit to what degree, and not everyone knew exactly which banks had which exposures, but the fact that a credit tightening needs to take hold, that is the goal of the tightening. You're trying to slow the economy and bring things back into equilibrium, as you're saying, and what we're seeing ahead of us is months where that credit tightening is now going to reverberate and do its work, slowing the economy.
So how has it influenced your view of recession this year?
It hasn't much because I was expecting that that tightening would flow through. I didn't know exactly where, how, what pace, but my view is that the economy needs to slow. I don't know if the tightening the Fed has done is enough to slow the economy sufficiently to really bring inflation back down to what its target is. And so I really see one of two paths. Either that tightening keeps reverberating through and does slow the economy, there's a real probability of that, and we go into a much deeper recession than is currently priced in. Markets are expecting, you know, kind of barely a blip, mediocre growth, but not much. And in that case, the Fed can really ease into those circumstances, although it still has to be cautious in doing so. Or the economy doesn't slow that much, more like what is priced into markets, and then inflation is a lot stickier than we'd like, and the Fed's going to have to tighten more in order to actually engineer a slowdown.
Either scenario sounds not great for risk assets.
That's right. I think it's one of the most dangerous and bad times for risk assets that we've seen in
stocks
decades. And not great for bonds either, because you're really in a situation where either the Fed will need to tighten more to slow the economy or inflation can get more entrenched. And so one of the amazing things about bond markets is that no matter how high inflation's been, expectations for the long term are that the Fed always gets what it wants. And don't worry, inflation's going back to normal. If that starts getting questioned, if more investors say, wait a minute, the Fed's being easier into these circumstances, maybe inflation won't just go back to normal. You're going to need structurally higher interest rates.
Karen, really quickly, I am curious, you know, some of those who are more constructive on asset prices would argue that the tightening was already in place even prior to Silicon Valley Bank and that this was just an acceleration of that. And even if you look at, you know, models that look at credit contraction, most of them are saying maybe 50 basis points out of GDP on the full year. Is that Pollyanna?
I think that that's totally right. This was in place well before Silicon Valley Bank failed. This was in place. We didn't know exactly how it would play out, but we knew that that credit contraction was going to make its way through, the tightening was going to make its way through. We don't know exactly how much it will slow the economy when you listen to those estimates. If that's all it is, if that's all the credit contraction does, well, that just means that the Fed is going to have to do another round of tightening sooner or later in order to get the economy to slow sufficiently, deal with the inflation problem. And when you look at where inflation is, and inflation is going to fall somewhat from where it is, but even if inflation goes from 5 to, say, 3%, and you still have very low unemployment rate, at what point will the Fed ever tighten to control inflation, if not when the economy is pretty good, when unemployment rate is still low?
So how do you position, Karen? You guys at Bridgewater had a good year last year, right?
We did.
You were long commodities, short equities.
And short bonds at the time where, you know, inflation expectations kind of start picking up.
So what do you do now?
It is a tough time for investors. I think that you've got to look for uncorrelated things outside of the core 60-40 holding stocks and bonds because stocks and bonds are unattractive. You got a couple options. You can go to other geographies, places like Japan, where the inflation is a lot less entrenched than in other places, and they're actually pretty excited to see 2% inflation. That's a great thing. Places like China. And the other things you can do is just look at other sorts of bets. For example, looking at the euro relative to the dollar, wow, the euro is about as cheap as it's been in a very long period of time. So I think this is a really great time for uncorrelated sources of alpha, just taking different bets than you otherwise would, because that core exposure most investors have in stocks and bonds is less attractive than it has been in some time.
You like the euro, even though Europe is also going to have to do more tightening to fight inflation with a weaker growth rate?
I do. I think at this point, you know, Europe really did go through a structural competitiveness shock last year with everything that happened with energy prices, but that has really gotten priced in, and Europe has gotten structurally cheap. And on the flip side of that, wow, the dollar has been very strong, yeah, and a lot of money's gone in. And so those are the sorts of rubber bands that get stretched and can really reverse.
You also mentioned China, which is interesting. I don't hear that much bullishness on China, even though they're reopening. Investors just increasingly see it as risky, given the geopolitical tensions between the U.S. and China, which are only getting worse.
I think that's right. I think that as an investor, you have to think in China in two different ways. You have to think about the economics and basically say, if I'm building a portfolio, this is probably the best source of diversification that exists in the world. It's just a very different system, operating on its own drumbeat, its own monetary and fiscal policy. So you can get real sources of diversification, and valuations are, you know, more attractive in a lot of places like the U.S. But you also have to think about geopolitical risk that, as an investor, you're subject to regulation both on the U.S. side and the Chinese side, and you don't really know how that's going to play out. And that has to be part of the calculus of the risk return.
So ultimately, Karen, what would make you more interested in stocks? What would make you think, okay, there's a great opportunity to buy here? Because you do sound pretty negative.
I think on U.S. stocks, you just have to have valuations come down to price in a more significant slowdown in the economy. And That'll happen, and there'll be a great buying opportunity.
How deep of a recession are you guys looking at?
Look, it's really an either or. Either you're going to get a recession that is, you know, at least a normal recession, not a COVID-like recession, but at least a normal recession, such that inflation can start to come down, or you won't get a recession, and what stocks are going to be hit by is taking out all the easing that's priced in. Because the thing that investors don't usually realize is you're not usually at a spot like this in the cycle and have this much easing already expected. So the fact the Fed is already priced to go from 5 to 3% in, you know, a very short period of time, it means as soon as we hit summer, every day the Fed doesn't ease, that's effectively a tightening, because it's a tightening relative to what's priced. So every day the Fed's going to be forced to be tighter relative to the markets, and that's what's going to end up hitting stocks. One of those two things has to come out of the prices.
It sounds like you don't buy the tightening narrative for the year.
The tightening narrative.
I mean, the cutting narrative.
You know, the Fed could do it, but it really risks its long-term reputation on inflation or a major slowdown, in which case tightening would be in order.
Karen, thank you for the time this morning. Appreciate it. Karen Carneal-Tambor, co-CIO of Bridgewater, and a good taste of what investors are talking about here when it comes to the Fed, inflation, and the economy.